It is good to be here tonight, as always, and we love our church, and what a wonderful place to come. And you know, there's many times that, Drew loves to come to church. Many, many mornings he'll get up and he'll say, Is today church? I think he would come pretty near every day of his life if he could, and I thank God, And you know why that is, though? Because you all make a difference in his life. And I appreciate that. And on this Father's Day, it's very humbling to be a dad. And, of course, it came a little bit later than most people's coming into fatherhood. But you know what? I love every minute of it. And I love where God has us, when he has us, and how he has us. You know, growing up this morning, as we listened to those testimonies about the dads, my dad has been gone 14 years, and today would have been his 86th birthday. My dad would have turned 86 today. And, you know, mine was a little bit different, though. I can honestly say I don't know how old I was when my dad passed away, but I was in my 30s, I think. And, you know, the sad part is I never knew anything about my dad. My dad lived with us. My parents were married. They weren't divorced. I knew nothing about my dad's childhood. He never spoke of it. I knew nothing about my dad's job. He never spoke of it. I knew nothing about my dad's time in Korea. He never spoke of it. My dad lived his life with the way he was brought up. You never speak unless spoken to. And my dad never lost that in his entire life. Now, of course, we used to tease my mom that it's because he never got a chance to say anything with my mom. But you know what? The one thing, though, that I have to say I knew, though, is I knew my dad loved me. My dad was one, he would like to do things for you, but he never wanted to do them in front of you. Just one quick example, and this is one that has always stuck out in my mind. The home I had, it had this long deck, and it had a stairway at this end. And I can remember mentioning one time, boy, I'd like a set of steps at the other end, because there was a patio then, and that's where I kept my grill. And I came home from work one day, and the railing was gone, and there was a set of steps. That was it. That's how my dad did it. He would never have done it while I was there. He would never have asked for help. He just would come and do it. And then another time I was talking with him, well, I got to tell you this one story, and I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with the message. Well, it kind of does. My dad showed up. I had an apartment on Church Street. And one day I was there, and he knocked on the door, and I said, oh, Dad, because it was just strange, because my dad normally would never have just stopped by. And he said, here, I bought this for you. And it was a phone with an answering machine, because I didn't have one. And I said, oh, I appreciate this. Thank you very much. He said, yeah, your mom told me to go buy you a lamp, but I decided you needed this. That was my dad. You never, ever had, you know, but I knew he loved us. He worked very hard for our family to the day that he died, the evening he died at about 10:30 at night. My dad had went to work that day. You know, he never stopped. He never stopped. He had retired from his career. He was in the military. And so he took a job at Whirlpool as a midnight security guard. He loved it. Well, he had a massive heart attack, and the doctor wouldn't release him to go to work. So my dad just went and got a different job where they knew nothing about the heart attack and just continued working. So, but just some of the things. I mean, I'm thankful for him. He provided. But, you know, it's kind of sad to think that I really knew not much about my dad. And that's something, I'll be honest, that's been very hard for me, even after all these years as a Christian, of knowing my Heavenly Father. Because we take many times the experience we have with our earthly father, and we take that in to our Christian life. But the one thing I know my Heavenly Father loves me. Going into the message for tonight, it's simply titled, Ask Your Father. Ask Your Father. taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And it's not really a deep theological, it's not a preaching message, but it's just kind of an instructional time that I'd like us to take these next few moments to just look through these verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." We know this. Many call it the Lord's Prayer. Many call it the Disciples' Prayer. And many even call it the Prayer of Jesus. But as I thought about this Scripture, as I looked at this Scripture, it took me to today's world. Or some of these are going to be blasts from the past, if you will. Kind of the golden oldies of the service. Leave It to Beaver. Who remembers Leave It to Beaver? The Brady Bunch. How about Father Knows Best? Repeats, Brother Holmes repeats. So that's the only way I know him too. So Andy Griffith. You know, almost weekly, we would hear for a variety of reasons and needs, ask your father. Today, though, we live in a society of self-help, self-reality, self-recognition. Many will even say a dependence on God is a sign of weakness, that the power lives within us. We turn to the inner self, if you will, for advice. We are quick to turn to ungodly counsel. We listen to the media for our advice. If you flip on any time of the day, you're sure to find some kind of advice show. Absolute, and I'm just going to say it, it's garbage. I have not found one that I can get past 30 seconds of the garbage advice that they give. But yet we never experience or receive the advice, the counsel, or the guidance we need. And it's right here at our fingertips. Why? We need to heed the advice of June, of Carol, of Margaret, and of Aunt B. The advice that Jesus gives us, ask your Father. Of course, tonight we're talking about our Heavenly Father. And we see in these Scriptures how God has instructed us to go to our Father. When we go to God in prayer, we see the practicals of prayer outlined by Jesus for the disciples. Now, prior to this exact portion of Scripture, Jesus had been teaching on murder, on anger, on temptation, on divorce, oaths, forgiveness, loving, and giving. It was indeed a classroom day, if you will, for the disciples. He continued his teaching, focusing on prayer. And that portion of Scripture is where I'd like to pick up tonight. Jesus wants prayer to be genuine and from our heart to His. Prayer, my friends, does move the heart of God. I've seen it so many times in my own life where grace and mercy and love prevailed, where all indications show it should have been judgment and it should have been heartache. But indeed, God's heart was moved. Verse 9. "And after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Recognizing who our Father is. He is holy. He is just. He is loving. Yet He is jealous. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. looking at verses 1 through 7. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You notice it says, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. We need to recognize the sovereignty of our Father. We need to recognize that our Father is the Almighty God. That he's not just one of the gods. He is the God. King of kings, Lord of lords, is our God. Seeing our Heavenly Father for who he really is should not frighten us. He is holy, he is righteous, he is the one true God. He is judge, he is a forgiver. He is faithful and he is true. He is our Father who deserves respect. But out of his love and out of his concern, he cared so much for his children that we read in Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. My friends, this opened the throne room to us that we can go before him, the Almighty God, and ask our Father. You see, until that point, there was no openness, if you will, to God our Father. There was intercessors. Man stood between man and the holy God. But when that curtain was torn in half, it opened up the opportunity. It opened up the freedom. It opened up the blessing of being able to go to our Heavenly Father and sometimes just sit down with him and say, God, I don't even know how to pray. God, I don't even know what to ask for. And you know what, my friends? He'll meet us right there. He loves you. He desires that relationship with you. But yet we must recognize who he is. If we go back to our setting of Scripture in verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Submission. We need to see that we need to be submissive to our Almighty God. We must recognize that he sits in high places. His name is sacred to be used in reverence and with respect. He holds spiritual reign as we seek his will. And as we seek his will in purity and in wholeness, we will submit to his will. Because do you realize without that submission, we'll be as a mouse in a maze, always seeking a way out, all the while banging into the walls of circumstances and defeat. Why? Because we have not submitted to the will of God. You know, there's a road less traveled by many today. You know, sad to say, many times this road is not even traveled by Christians. And that's the road of God's will. Why? because we are a people of comfort. We like our comfort. And I'll be honest, I love the comfort of knowing when and where and how and why. I like the puzzle pieces to fit. I don't want to have to guess. I don't want to have to think. I just want it to work. I just want it to happen. But you know what? Sometimes, most times, the will of God takes us out of those comfort zones, doesn't it? Why? Because it's called faith. It's by faith that we follow the will of God. And faith isn't always having it on that clipboard of this is exactly what's going to happen. Faith says, got the plan, just follow, and we'll work it out. Submitting to God's will. Our greatest example of submission is Jesus himself. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Philippians 2:8-11. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse 9. "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." Submission. 1 Peter 1:13-14. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." Obedience, submission, they can parallel. And you notice here in verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves." Would you put that back up for me, Lynn? I'm sorry. I was reading from there. "Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." My friends, ignorance is no excuse. "But I didn't know." Then you're not in the Word. "But I didn't realize." Then you didn't ask. My friends, in our submission, ignorance is no excuse. So we see the recognition of who God is. We see that when we go to our Father, we must submit to God our Father. And next, we ask our Father. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 7:7-8. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open." Matthew, going back to chapter 21, Matthew 21:22. "And all things whatsoever ye shall receive, ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." My friends, have you ever done that? You go and you ask and you don't even think it's going to happen. Perfect example. You go and you say, there's something you want to do, for instance. And it's a case of, I'm going to back up. I didn't have this wrote down. See, I should have wrote it down. Remember when we were kids and you'd sell candy and candles and junk in school? Remember that stuff? That overpriced dime store junk. I was never the top salesman. I never won that bicycle that they rolled across the stage. I couldn't even win the little windmill that blew in the wind because I was the world's worst salesman. Why? Because I would go up and I would say, I'd knock on the door and I'd say, "Hi, Mrs. Mammon. You don't want to buy one of these candles I'm selling, do you?" I know you, but you would. You would, yeah. That was me. Why? Because I asked without faith. I just set it up that they weren't going to want that junk. They weren't going to want it. "You don't want to buy any of this candy, do you?" What would you get then? "No, I don't want to buy your candy because you're not a good salesman." You know, when we go to our Father, we need to go in faith believing, but realizing that the answer could be yes. The answer could be we'll see, or later. Or the answer could be no. And many times we just set ourselves up to be told no, when the Father wants to say yes. What is it that you're seeking tonight? What is it that you need to ask the Father for? My friends, go to Him believing that our God can do it according to His will. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 11 through 15. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now that verse, verse 14, "If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it," can get you into a lot of trouble, though. We had a whole movement that probably is still going on in the church, if you will, that just believed that regardless of what it was, if I asked in the name of Jesus, he had to do it. I always love that phrase, he has to do it. Our God has to do nothing except abide by what he gave us in his word. But my friends, when we go to the Father, we go asking according to his will. Does our God have the ability to do anything? Absolutely. But our God takes that ability and uses it for our best. So we must recognize who God is. We must submit to the will of God. We must ask the Father. You know, many times we ask in worry. I am a worrier. I can worry about anything and everything that could possibly never happen in a million years. I'm a worrier, and I'll admit it. And we see this, and it almost sometimes ashamedly models me in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body what ye shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Many lose today being worried about tomorrow. Isn't that the truth? Don't we see that? Many lose today so worried about tomorrow. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I absolutely love that scripture. My friends, ask God for what you need. Ask God for what you need. He's there for you. And as we recognize who he is, as we submit to his will, and as we ask, my friends, as fathers, wasn't your desire to give your very best to your sons and to your daughters? I would hope it was. I would hope that it is. So is your heavenly Father's desire. But we need to walk in forgiveness as well. Verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, admitting we're wrong. It's the first part of it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many times we cannot enjoy forgiveness because we hold unforgiveness towards others. Have you ever thought about that? Many times we cannot enjoy God's forgiveness. We see so many people, I believe they're saved, I believe they're born again. But my friends, they can't enjoy the fullness of that forgiveness. And we have generations, sadly, on this Father's Day, that are holding grudges towards their fathers. All fathers aren't like Mike Brady. All fathers aren't like Andy Griffith. That's the facts of life, my friends. But my friends, our Heavenly Father loves us with an unconditional, everlasting love. Unforgiveness is like a slow-eating cancer. It's not always felt or noticeable at first, but eventually it is felt. It is seen. And my friends, at that point, many times it can be too late. Maybe this Father's Day, you're holding unforgiveness towards someone. Maybe you're holding unforgiveness towards yourself. Oh, but you don't know what I did. Doesn't matter. You don't know what they did. It doesn't matter. Because, my friends, what did you do when Christ came to the cross? He came for you in your filthiness, in your dirtiness, in your sinful ways. Unforgiveness can be stronger than a steel-reinforced poured concrete wall. It holds us back. And it breaks communion between us and others and us and God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Give forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. And where receive forgiveness, where forgiveness is to be received. So we see the recognition, we see the submission, we see the asking, we see forgiveness. And then, my friends, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Seeking God in all things. Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My friends, as we go and we ask our Father, make it a priority to seek him out. Give him quality time. And I think we can all fall into that fast track of prayer, that fast track of devotions, where we kind of do it on the whim. We kind of do it as we go. We kind of do it as we think of it. But my friends, we need to make it a priority. Give him quality time, time alone, just you and him. Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always there. His help is there. As we seek it, he will keep us and he will sustain us. As the musicians come forward in conclusion tonight, is there anything you want to ask of God? Anything you want to say to God? Recognize who he is. He is holy. He is just. But he is loving and he is kind. Submit to his lordship. Maybe tonight you have a need, a physical need, a spiritual need, a financial need, a family situation. He is here. Maybe you're holding back forgiveness. Tonight's that night to break down that wall. Possibly you need to just seek him and tell him that you recognize all the blessings he has given you. We sing the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. But if you ever truly name them one by one. Maybe it's the times he's protected you. I think of Pastor and Mrs. Mott's son and the family. The times he's protected them. Maybe he'll answer your request with a yes, a no, or a wait. But my friends, in knowing him, we know that it's in love. Maybe tonight's a time to seek him, to commit yourself to prayer, to praise, and to study. But whatever you might need tonight, I would challenge you to ask your Father. Stand with me if you would, please, as Pastor Holmes comes.